Israel, come inside Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the life, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal life. Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, Portland, USA, was written by Irv Kunitz and features Joseph DeSantis in the role of Saul Gitlin and Edgar Staley as Chaim. The narrator is Roger DeColvin. The town of Bobrusk in the district of Minsk suffered in the main from an accident of geography. It was perched in the very center of that twilight zone between Poland and Russia that was neither far enough away from Poland to escape its innumerable partitions, nor far enough from Russia to avoid the Russian winters. Whenever there was a war, and when wasn't there a war, it was standard procedure. The loser had to take the brush. This is the reason that Saul Gitlin was happy to leave the brush. He never liked the idea of going to sleep in Poland and waking up in Russia, or vice versa. In 1910, Saul Gitlin left his two brothers in the brush and came to America. Somehow he found his way to Portland, Maine, and there he was content, and there he settled. At least when you went to sleep in Portland, Maine, when you woke up, it was still Portland, Maine.
Chaim. Chaim, get up. Time to get up.
Oh, what time is it, Saul?
That's after four.
Has the rooster crowed?
Not yet.
Am I not entitled to as much sleep as the rooster?
This is not the hour for dialectic discussion. Get up.
Have you washed, Saul?
Not yet.
Then wash. When you finish, wake me up.
Chaim, get up. I repeat to you this wisdom of Solomon. A wise son gathereth in summer, but he that sleepeth in harvest causeth pain.
Oh, summer, he says, summer. Outside the snow is falling, and he says, summer. What will mean when it gets warm enough so that you have to wear only one suit of woolen underwear? That's it, all summer.
Chaim, are you unhappy here?
He says, unhappy.
And you're always complaining.
A man gets up before the chickens, he doesn't get up laughing, so you say he complains. I never complain. I only say in Portland, Maine, the winter is cold. That I get up before the chickens, the business is terrible, that I feel my rheumatism is worse. But complain? No, not crime, never.
Listen, tonight I'm going to write a letter to my brothers. To my brothers in Lugus.
Jacob?
To Jacob and Abraham, to both.
What has that got to do with my getting up before the chickens?
I'm asking them to come to America, to Portland, Maine. When they come, then, if you like, you can go where it's always summer and sleep to your heart's content.
Good. Fine.
But until they come, you're still my partner?
Naturally.
We still have to do business?
Of course.
When a customer comes to the store, no matter when he comes to the store will be open?
Yes, but...
So now get up.
I am up.
And stop complaining.
I am not complaining. I never complain. When did you ever hear me complain? Never, never once. Not once did I complain. I challenge you to tell me when once I complain.
Now. You see, Chaim? You see what you did?
What did I do?
You woke up the chicken.
Then now I know it's time to get up and say the morning prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath given to the rooster intelligence to distinguish between day and night.
That night, from Portland, Maine, a letter was dispatched to the group. Saul did not labor over its composition. It was easy to write. The words glided from his heart.
I ask you to put aside whatever preconceived ideas you may have about America. The promise of America is not a material thing. The roads are not paved with gold. The trees are not laden with gilded fruit. Nor is one able to sit under a tree and have a fortune rain down into his lap. Here in Portland, the climate is severe. The winter is long, and the summer, though sweet, is short. But here is opportunity. Here a man who gives an honest measure has the chance to earn an honest profit. Here there is growth, new growth, and a chance for all to share in the growth. Brothers, both of you, come to Portland. Come to live in this new land. Come, see for the first time what it means to live in peace.
In Bobrusk, which at this time was in Poland, or was it in Russia? I forget now, but it is unimportant. In Bobrusk, Saul's two brothers read his letter. Abraham had married. There was a child expected. Of course, he could not leave. But Jacob turned his back on Bobrusk, not looking back even once. He turned his back on Bobrusk and started for Portland.
Moving, Mr. Gitlin?
Moving? Me? No. Only alterations.
Oh.
Standing.
Uh-huh. Building a whole new wing. Mm-hmm. We're going to put in a full line of dry goods.
Is that so?
The finest. Only the finest.
Well, I must say it's about time somebody thought of that. Will you carry drapery material?
Huh? Of course. Naturally.
I had expected to go to Boston to buy material for some new draperies, but I'll wait till you have yours in.
Thank you, Mrs. Everett. You won't be sorry.
I've dealt with you many years, Mr. Gitlin. I've never been sorry.
Oh, that's a wonderful compliment.
Yes. Will you send the package to my house by this evening?
By this afternoon.
Oh, good. Well, good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Everett. Chaim! Chaim!
Are you calling me, Saul?
Where are you?
Back here.
What are you doing back here in the stockroom?
Taking inventory.
Now?
Right now.
Why?
It is now 5 months since you wrote to your brothers to come to Portland, Maine.
Almost 6 months.
They should arrive any day. So I'm taking inventory. When they come, I leave.
I don't know why you're in such a hurry to leave now. The summer has only started.
That's it.
What's it?
The summer.
Well, what about the summer?
It's too hot.
The new wing to the store was finished now. The dry goods lined the shelves in varicolored strata, and Saul Gitlin stood proudly below and exhibited his wares to his customers. Already he was thinking of, no, not another wing, but another floor. Furniture this time, only the best. But he was worried, too. He had heard from the brisk. He knew Jacob was on his way to Portland. But in months now, not a word, not a sign. Finally, he could wait no longer.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Gitlin, come in.
You will please excuse me, Mrs. Everett. I hope I'm not taking you from anything important.
Oh, of course not. Come into the parlor.
Thank you. Mrs. Everett...
How do you like the way the drapes look?
Oh? Oh, beautiful.
You don't think the velvet fringes are too daring?
I should say not. The latest, the very latest. I have a picture in my store of Mrs. J. Gould's parlor. She has exactly the same dress.
Really?
Yes. Mrs. Everett, please. I need help.
Well, what's the trouble?
My brother Jacob. He's coming here to join me. He left Bobrusk at least 3 months ago.
Bobrusk?
The village we come from in the old country.
Oh, well, where is that?
It's either Poland or Russia.
You're not sure?
Well, frankly, I've not had time to read the papers this morning. That's the only way you can tell for sure.
Oh.
Whenever the Tsar feels uneasy, he gives Bobrusk to the Poles. Whenever the Poles feel strong, they make him take it back.
Oh, I see. And now your brother has left Bobrusk for America?
He has, but I've not heard from him. He must have arrived here already, but I haven't heard from him. You see why I'm worried.
Well, he knows where to come.
I wrote him very carefully in the letter. Portland.
Hmm. Well, I think the thing to do is to get in touch with the Immigration Service. They surely ought to know.
Am I allowed?
Well, for heaven's sakes, why not? Well,
not yet a citizen. I've only my second baby.
That makes no difference. Write to the Immigration Service in Washington. They have all the records. They'll find your brother.
You mean I've got the right to ask the government about my brother?
Certainly.
It's a wonderful country, Mrs. Everett. Wonderful land. Chaim! Chaim! Are you here?
Did you think I was in California?
I made all the deliveries. I think
letter came for you.
Letter? Where?
Here. It says in this corner it's from the United States government. I think that's a lie.
Why?
Look, no stamp on the envelope. The United States government is big enough to be able to buy a stamp.
It must be about Jacob.
Read it.
Mr. Saul Gitlin, Gitlin's Department Store, Portland, Maine. Dear sir.
Dear sir. That's very nice. The United States government calling you dear sir.
This office is in receipt of your favor of the 14th instance.
What inst?
Instance is this month.
This month? Couldn't be.
Why?
This month is August.
In regard to Jacob Gitlin, our records disclose that a Jacob Gitlin, formerly residing in Bobrusk, province of Minsk, Empire of Russia, entered this country through the port of New York on July 5th. His papers were in order, and he passed customs inspection and health examination the next day. Our records further revealed that his destination was Portland. His nearest relative in this country, one Saul Gitlin, whom we presume is yourself.
Well, naturally.
He's here. Jacob is in America.
Well, if he's here, where is he?
I don't understand it.
Well, how can he be here and not be here? At least if the letter said he wasn't here, that I could understand.
But it says
he isn't here because he isn't here, but the letter says he is here. So where is he?
Chaim, please.
Is there any more to the letter?
Yes. If you have not yet located your brother, this office suggests that you contact the Bureau of Missing Persons, New York City Department of Police. Missing persons. Missing persons.
You think he's lost?
Well, what else can I think? It doesn't take over a month to get from New York to Portland. What else is there to think?
I don't know why you're so gloomy, Saul. Jacob doesn't have to be lost. Maybe he's only had an accident.
Huh?
Maybe with all that Russian traffic in New York, maybe he was only hit by a horse car. Or who can tell, maybe he's only sick in the hospital.
I am.
Huh?
Please, go back to work.
With the thought of poor Jacob suffering alone in that hospital, maybe on the point of death, how can I keep my mind on my work?
To the Bureau of Missing Persons, New York City Department of Police, Jacob Gitlin became a 5x3 index card, neatly filed away. No information, try Boston. Boston, no record of Jacob Gitlin. Providence, no such person as Jacob Gitlin. Philadelphia, no Jacob Gitlin.
Crime!
What time is it?
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Huh?
And is this the time to sleep?
Who's sleeping? Me?
When a man is flat on his back, when his eyes are closed, when he snores like a freight locomotive, what then is he doing?
Thinking.
Thinking. About what?
About where I should go when I leave Portland. So, what do you think about Texas?
What would you do in Texas?
In Texas, I understand they have thousands of cows.
Yes.
Cows give milk.
Yes.
For milk, you can make cheese.
Yes.
For cheese, you need boxes.
Yes.
Boxes need labels.
Yes.
Labels need pictures.
Yes.
Labels need words.
I am.
And someone has to write the words.
You.
Naturally, am I not a scholar? So I think I shall go to Texas and become an author.
Someone in the store.
Mrs. Everett.
Oh. Good afternoon, Mrs. Everett.
Well, Mr. Gitlin, I've located him.
Who?
Your brother.
Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Jacob is?
I do.
Oh.
I've just returned from New York City. While there, I did a little sleuthing on my own.
Yeah.
I traced him from the docks where his ship came in to Grand Central Terminal. I inquired further, And finally, I found a ticket seller who thought he remembered
him. Yes?
I know where he is now.
Where? Tell me where.
Your brother is in Portland.
Was here? In Portland? But the
Yakov is in Portland, but not here.
But...
Sit down, Saul.
Why?
Your brother is not in Portland, Maine. He's in Portland, Oregon.
On the map, as Saul looked at the map, Portland, Oregon was a black dot, a universe away. Plans billowed up in his mind. He would take the next train to Oregon. He would wire the police in Oregon. He would send Chaim to Oregon. How does a brother find a brother in Oregon?
Saul, the letter is here. Let me see.
This one must be important. It has a stamp.
Chaim! Chaim! It's from Yaakov! From Portland, Oregon! From Yaakov!
My dear brother, no doubt you will be surprised to learn that I am now in Portland, Oregon. To tell you the truth, I am a little surprised myself. But you should have told me that in America it is sometimes like in the old country. That Portland is like Bobruisk. That sometimes it is in one place and sometimes in another. What follows is the true account of my adventures since I arrived in America. When I arrived in New York City, I, along with all the other immigrants, were lined up on a pier, and after a doctor looked in my mouth and made me say, ah, I was given a tag. Then a man in a uniform came up to me and began to ask questions. Not yet being able to understand English, I answered in our own tongue. But then he seemed to understand when I said, Portland.
Portland?
Portland.
Portland?
Portland!
Portland!
For 5 days on the train, I traveled. Finally, the train came to Portland, and I got off. I've looked for you, for your store. I walked up and down every street looking for your name on a window. But I found nothing. The first night, I slept in a park. The second, in a stable. But the third night, I slept in a bed. I will tell you how that happened. I was walking down a street lined with stores, and in front of one of these stores, a man was standing. He was a small, stout man, and his face was bright with a smile. And he stood in the door of this shop, his hands clasped behind his back, and he rocked back and forth on his feet. There was something about him, something I recognized. I walked up to him, and I said, "Pardon me. Can you help me, please? Here in Portland, I am a stranger." This man looked at me, and he put his hand on my shoulder and then saw. Then he said,
"You are not a stranger. Come into my house."
And so the two brothers were now in America with only the continent between. It was planned, at first it was planned, to have Yaakov stay in Oregon only long enough to earn his fare eastward. But a year passed, and then another.
Oh.
Yes, Chaim.
Oh, this morning you got another letter from Yaakov.
Yes, a wonderful letter. In English.
What did it say in English?
It said that Mr. Pincus, the man he lives with, has decided to make him a partner in his livery business.
In Portland, Oregon?
Of course.
If he's in business in Portland, Oregon, that means he will not come to Portland, Maine.
Not just now.
Oh. When?
I don't know when.
Do we have a size 36 short overcoat in stock?
I think so, Chaim. Do we have a customer for it?
Certainly I have a customer, me.
Now the years flew by swiftly. They were good years for Saul and good years for Yaakov, so they flew by swiftly.
Dear Yaakov, congratulations on your marriage. Please accept this little gift that represents not only my joy for your happiness, but my sorrow at being unable to attend the services. I wanted to come to Portland. I intended to come. But at the last minute, I came down with a bad case of pneumonia, and so naturally, I had to stay home. But next year, for sure, I will come.
I've had a letter from Bobrovsky. Our brother seems to need a little aid. I've sent him what I could. Please kiss my new sister and tell her that my love for her crosses the continent with ease. So strong is it. Jakob, now that automobiles are getting popular, what are you going to do with your livery business? Your loving brother, Saul.
Dear Saul, so they have elected you president of the synagogue in Portland, Maine. What a wonderful honor. Of course, I only wish it were possible for me to join you on this great occasion. My wife and both children are well. Little Rebecca has entered school, and my son has been promoted to the sixth grade. My last letter from Bobrovsky from Abraham was very depressing. I wish he would come to America, but now, of course, with all the trouble in Europe, I suppose that will be impossible. The automobile business is prospering. Last week we sold six cars. We are thinking now of opening a branch in Salem. Not in Salem, Illinois. Not in Salem, Massachusetts. But in Salem, Oregon.
Now year followed year as day follows day, swiftly with a dash of time. And still the brothers remained apart. Saul in Portland, Maine, Jakob in Portland, Oregon, and Abraham in Bobrovsky. 30 years passed, and still they remained apart.
Dear Jakob, I know you will be proud as I am to learn that my son Elias has just received his commission as a second lieutenant in the Air Force. He tells me that it is very possible that he may get to the West. If so, he will look you up. No, I've had no word from Abraham. Expecting news from Europe these days is like expecting it from the grave. My love to your family, Saul.
Dear Saul, I have wonderful news. The best news since the ending of the war. Abraham is safe. Abraham is alive. The American Joint Distribution Committee has written me that he is safe in the refugee camp in Germany. I have already started making arrangements to bring him here to America. He will come to me in Portland, Oregon. You, Saul, you must come too. Whatever ties hold you to where you are now, these ties are not as close as the bond of blood. Now, at last, you must really come.
Dear Jakob, it is not so easy to do it as it is to say it. To give up my life here and start all over in a distant region, a man of my age. I remember a letter you sent me
in Bobrovsky. I will repeat a little of it. Here in Portland, a man who gives an honest measure has the chance to earn an honest profit. Here there is growth, new growth, and a chance for all to share in the growth. Come, Saul. Come, live with me in the new part of the land. Now is the time, Saul. Right now.
Jakob.
Yes, Saul.
You haven't changed. Not at all.
Nor have you. You look the same.
Jakob,
Saul, do you...
when Abraham comes, then think, after 40 years, we'll be together. At last, after all of this, at last, together.
I sometimes wonder what would happen to the world if America weren't here offering every man a chance of dignity.
We have a lot to be...
Oh, yes, my dear.
Jakob, a telegram.
Oh, from whom?
I didn't open it. You know how nervous I get when a telegram comes.
Silly.
What is it, Jakob?
Bad news?
From the Joint Distribution Committee. About Abraham.
Well?
They won't let him come to America.
But why?
Because he arrived in the refugee camp after December 22nd, 1945.
What difference does that make?
It's the law, the new law. This country will accept refugees, but only if they were in the American, British, or French zones of Germany before that date.
I don't understand.
It's the law.
But we bring people to this country. People come to this country because of what they are, what they need, what they've been through. They come because they want to live here and work here and be good citizens.
Yes.
Because a man went into a camp before December 22nd, 1945, does that make him a good man? Because a man went into a camp after December 22nd, 1945, does that make him a bad man? Is there a date that determines a man's goodness?
It's the law.
My dear brothers, so at last you have come together. You can imagine my joy at the news and my sorrow at not being able to join in this great reunion. All during the time I was in the concentration camps, all that terrible time, the thing that kept me going was the thought that at least you, my brothers, you in Portland were safe. To believe, to know that there were Portlands still standing in the world. Havens, little islands of safety. This thought sustained me in my agony. Now, I am safe too. Here in the refugee camp, I have given a name to the little hut in which I live. I call it Portland. I do not understand about laws that prevent a man from freely walking the roads of the world. But there are such laws. Still in my heart, as in the hearts of all the children of Almighty God, Jews and Christians, all of us in the refugee camps of Europe, there is a dream. We see ourselves, all of us, sailing freely across open seas, through open gates, and there in every nation on God's earth, waiting on the dark, are our brothers. For my own sake, I close my eyes and see my own brothers on the dock, waiting to greet me. I read the name of the port. It stands out in bold black letters. Portland, USA.
Our eternal life drama today, Portland, USA, was written by Irv Tunick. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadams. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Joseph DeSantis was heard as Saul and Edgar Staley as Chaim. The entire production was under the direction of Edward King. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you have any comments or inquiries about today's broadcast, please write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.